There's a modern day parable that goes something like this. There was a man who owned a house in an area of the country that one year experienced a terrible, terrible flood. It was the worst flood that community had seen in decades. And the man started to get a little worried as he watched as both rivers in the town overflowed their banks and the rains came pouring down, and they watched as the waters started to rise. Everyone evacuated the village, except for this one old man who owned this house. He refused to leave a house that would surely soon become submerged in water. So he watched as the water started to rise up and cover all of the roads. And there was a pickup truck that went by and honked his horn and said to the man inside the house, "I've got a pickup truck. It's a 4x4. I can get you out. Everybody's leaving. You need to come with me." The old man said, "I have faith that God will save me. I don't need to come with you." Within hours, the water had risen several feet. So high was the waters that it started to pour inside his house. There wasn't a dry spot left on the ground, on his floor. His carpet was ruined. And so the old man had to leave the floor and hop up on his dining room table. He looked out of the kitchen window from his house and saw another man come by. Came by in a rowboat this time. The guy yelled into the house, into the kitchen, to the old man. He said, "Hurry up, jump out of your window and swim over to my rowboat. I will save you. You're the only one left in the city." The old man shook his fist to the man and said, "I believe that God will save me. Go find someone else." Well, the water got deeper. Pretty soon the waters got so high that it filled up his entire kitchen and living room and bathroom. But the man was determined to survive. Believing that God would save him, he swam out and hopped up on top of his roof and watched as the waters started to slowly creep up to the very roof of his house. And within hours, a helicopter started to come by and fly around and saw this man standing on his roof. And the pilot of the helicopter with the megaphone said, "Sir, I am lowering a ladder. Please use this ladder and come up to the helicopter. We are going to save you." And the man said, "No, for I believe that God will save me. I have faith that God will deliver me from this flood." Well, I bet you know how this story ends. The waters got to be so high that eventually the waters engulfed the roof and the man. And eventually he died. Well, the story ends like this. The man died and went to heaven, and when the old man arrived at the gates of heaven, he asked St. Peter if he could have a talk with God. And so Peter took him into the pearly gates and up to the throne of grace, and the man was able to ask God the question that was burning inside him. He said, "Oh Lord, I prayed earnestly for the rains to stop, but they didn't stop. I prayed for your deliverance from the flood, but you left me down there to drown. I had faith in you, but I don't understand why I died and why I'm here." God said, "My child, I heard your prayers. I never stopped listening or caring for you. I mean, I sent you a 4-wheel truck, I sent you a rowboat, and I sent you a helicopter. Why did you keep sending them away?" The point of the story is simple. The point of the story is simple. Just because you don't see how God is working doesn't mean that God isn't working. Just because you don't see God in your life doesn't mean God isn't present. Take the story from Luke's Gospel. The story from Luke's Gospel is just hours after the resurrection. The disciples were petrified with fear, and like that old man who was watching the waters rise around him, the disciples were watching the waters of despair rise all around them. They were huddled in a room together. They were petrified with fear. They didn't know where they were going to turn next. You could hear them mumbling to each other, "I can't believe Jesus is really dead. What are we going to do now? Who are we going to follow? We have left everything to follow a man who is no longer with us. What are we going to do?" And then all of a sudden, the scriptures say that while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." What do you suppose their reaction would be? Their reaction was not, "All right, Jesus, we knew you were coming back. It's good to see you." They didn't say, "Great, Jesus, we're glad you're back. Now what's next?" They didn't say, "Jesus, we believe it's you." No, the disciples said, they were startled and terrified. Scripture said they thought they were looking at a ghost, not the real thing. I guess I could understand why the disciples felt that way. But for some reason, Jesus was actually there in their midst. Jesus was offering them help and new hope and life. Just like a pickup truck and a rowboat and a helicopter came to them, but the disciples missed it completely. Missed it altogether. And I could understand why the disciples were afraid. I imagine that if I were in that room, I would be trembling with fear too. I would think that I saw a ghost. But it was really Jesus. And the disciples really missed it. The disciples missed it completely. So I guess I'm not surprised at the disciples' reaction, but I'll tell you what I'm surprised about in this scripture. I'm surprised at the proof that Jesus gave to the disciples. Jesus wanted to prove to the disciples that it was really him, come back from the dead, that it was the same Jesus that was alive and with them before. Jesus knew that he had to give them proof that he was alive. What proof do you think Jesus would give? Maybe Jesus would walk on water again. Maybe Jesus would shoot lightning bolts out of his fingers. Maybe Jesus would give a profound word like when he used to preach on the mountains. No, I'll tell you what Jesus did. The proof that Jesus gave to the disciples is this. He said, "Touch my hands. Look at the wounds. Touch me. Feel me. Use your five senses. It is really me. And I am really here." Do you doubt whether God is alive and well in your life today? Do you doubt where the presence of Christ is within a world that seems to be lost? Do you wonder where Jesus is in your life? Jesus suggests something very simple. That Jesus is no farther than the tip of your nose, or the touch of your fingers, or the tip of your tongue. That you can use your five senses to sense the presence of God in your life today. That God is not invisible, God is visible. That God is tangible, touchable. You can hear God, touch God, smell God in the very ways that you live your life. God can be found in the simple way in which a close friend says, "I love you." God can be found in the moment that you smell a flower that has just bloomed. Jesus can be there when you visit a loved one in a hospital and say nothing, but simply hold their hand. God can be present when in a moment when we are all alone, we begin to utter the Lord's Prayer and find hope and peace. God's not invisible. God's real. Jesus isn't dead. Jesus is alive. And that's the dichotomy that we live in as Christians today, because we believe that Jesus is coming again, but we also believe that Jesus is already here. And the scriptures say to us today that if you want to find the presence of Christ in your life, use the senses that God has given to you. and Jesus will be found right next to you. I like the next thing that happens in the story, because I get the sense that after the disciples have pawed Jesus and touched him and felt the wounds, there was still a little bit of hesitancy that they had. They still didn't quite get that Jesus was real. They used their fingers, they used their ears, they used their mouths, and they still had some doubts. So Jesus still had some convincing to do, and I love what Jesus does next. Jesus says to the disciples, "You know, I'm a little hungry. Do you have some broiled fish?" What an odd request. But I love it. I love how an ordinary piece of fish becomes proof that Jesus is alive. I love how a little piece of fish that was maybe prepared the day before, maybe some scraps, some leftovers, could be used by an extraordinary God. The truth is, God uses ordinary things to do some extraordinary things. That's how a piece of bread could become the body of Christ. That's how a little cup of grape juice could become the blood of Christ. That's how a little piece of broiled fish could become a meal for our Lord. That's how a simple "I love you" to someone else could be the very words of God. That's how a little note that you send to someone who is in fear and trembling could become the very pen of God to that person. The truth is that God is alive, and God is alive through the ordinary things, like broiled fish, pieces of bread, cups of grape juice, even human hands. You take a look at the world around you today and you wonder where God is. The answer is simple. God's alive through you. Because we are broiled fish. Because in Jesus' hands, broiled fish becomes a sacrament of the holy. And we are the ordinary people through which God can do ordinary things. And if you wonder in your life where God is, you need to stop listening for thunder and waiting for lightning and shouting from the rooftops, crying for God's presence. You need to only look at the ordinary things of life, to count your blessings, to sense what your God-given senses can show you, that Jesus has never left you. Jesus is here. And maybe you can be a sacrament for someone else this week. Maybe you can be a piece of broiled fish that God can use to nourish a starving world. Maybe you, and ordinary me, can be used by the Messiah to prove to the world that yes, Jesus is alive. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.